Revelation chapter 10 and Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 21. All right. Everybody got last book in your Bible there, right before the concordance. Revelation chapter 10, Revelation 21. Now in Revelation chapter 10, look at verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever. I just love the thoughts of that, don't you? I just love that forever and ever. It's just right up there with everlasting or eternal or never ending. I just love those words. And the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that therein are, that are therein, that there should be time no more. Now, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Look down in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit and showed to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach. Be with our mind and our tongue. Bless our time together. Make it profitable. Lord, I pray you might excite somebody's heart about the things of God. We'll thank you, praise you for it, in Jesus' name. Now, I'm glad to have back with us this morning all the folks that were sick last week. My goodness, I'm telling you, it just seemed like everybody got all sick and got the flu and strep throat and all that at one time. Well, let's hope we've got all that behind us, amen? And I know my wife's been very, very sick. All you that prayed for and sent cards, I appreciate that. But this morning I want to talk to you on this thought. Beyond the borders of time. I was listening to a gospel music song the other day. I get a lot of inspiration out of gospel music. I counted up one time. I've got like 70 sermons that I've preached off of thoughts that I got from gospel music. That stuff just, I don't know, it speaks to my heart. I just like it. And I was sitting the other day listening to a song, and I'm not quite sure what the title is, and I have no idea who was singing it, but it's something about I Wouldn't Miss Heaven for the World. Is that the title? Okay. Well, anyway, in that song, there was a line, and it's right at the very beginning, and it starts out, beyond the borders of time. And then it goes on to wouldn't miss heaven for the world and all that stuff. And I got to thinking about that thought stuck in my head. Beyond the borders of time. The more I thought about it, the more I liked it. And so I'm going to share with you this morning some of the things about it that blessed my heart. Amen. Now, we are creatures of time. Time has a beginning, and of course time has an end, and I've preached on time three or four times in the past, and give you all, I've preached on how many seconds there is a minute, and how many minutes in an hour, and how many seconds in a day, and all, and give you all kind of definitions. I remember one sermon I preached where there was a thing in there about to kill time is by, to kill time is by definition to murder it. And it's a waste of time. But this morning I want to talk about getting beyond time. We're confined by time. It restricts us. It limits us. It places all kind of constraints on us. And because we're creatures of time and we're trapped in this mortality, there are just certain things we can't experience. There are certain things we can't know. There are certain things we can't enjoy. And then, of course, there are certain handicaps placed on us because of the weakness of our flesh and the constraints of time. And for example, in time, we are born, we live, and we die. That's the story of everybody's life. Now, you could add a gazillion details between born and lived and died, but you wouldn't change the scenario any. See? The beginning is going to be the same, the middle is going to be the same, and the conclusion is going to be the same. You can change the name and the geography and the events that occur, but the process remains the same. We're all born, we all live, and we all die, and it's all because we're confined to time. If we had eternity in us, we wouldn't have to worry about being born, and we certainly wouldn't have to worry about dying. But you're trapped in time, and you have to abide by the rules that govern time. And we don't like them all, and don't appreciate them all, but there they are. And it's the only world we know, and for the most part, most of us are pretty content with it. We've adapted and become able to adjust to it. And so we live in this thing called time, but it sure is a handicap. Not only are we born, live, and die, in time we experience things. We experience peace and happiness, sadness and sorrow. Those are products of time. That while you're here in this little space between born and died, you experience all those things. Now, everybody has happiness in their life, but everybody has sadness. That's the part I don't like. See, I've always wanted to have it all. I don't want just part of it. I want the whole cotton-picking thing. I want happiness without sadness. I want life without death. I want success without failure. Amen? I want joy without tribulation. I want the whole enchilada, man. I'm just longing for and looking for a place or a space where I don't have to worry about any of the things that occur here in time. I don't want to experience peace and happiness and then have it offset or countered by sadness and sorrow. So you just want everything. You want all the good. That's it. You got it. I don't know why that's so hard for people to imagine. That's in reality what we all want. Now, we understand because we're a product of time and trapped in it that we're not going to have that here. But you got to admit that's the longing of your heart. I never saw anybody sit around and say, oh, what I wouldn't give for sadness. Oh, if I could just have a brief moment of failure. You ever hear anybody? Everybody wants the best. Amen. Now, you're a realist and you live in a real world and you know it's not going to be that way. But if you had the longings of your heart, that's how it'd be. You'd never be defeated. You'd never lose. Amen. I'd be a perpetual winner. I've got survivor in my blood. You ever have a nightmare, you know? I hear people say, oh, I had a nightmare and so-and-so happened and I got killed. I'm 60 years old and I have never died. When I have a nightmare, I always survive it. I may have to get you killed, but I'm going to live anyway. A lot of folks have perished for my survival. I just cannot imagine in a dream perishing. I always find me a way out, don't you? In time, we experience pain and sorrow and happiness. In time, we experience good and bad. We have sunshine and we have rain. The truth is, I don't know where you're at in your life right now. You say, well, everything's going good, preacher. I got a good job and our health is good and the kids are doing good. Me and the wife are getting along. Now, you're really pushing the envelope there, you know. But so everything's just going my way. I don't have any complaints. Well, just give it a little while. You will. Amen. You just came out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're headed for one. Why? Because God causes it to rain on the just and the unjust, and in every life falls a little sunshine and a little rain. If you're going to think that it's going to stay like it is right now, you're delusional. It's not going to stay like this.
People say, well, my life is over. I might as well just blow my brains out. I don't see any hope for the future. Listen, you've got no idea what's coming down the road. It's not going to stay the same. It will change. May get worse, but it'll change. One thing about time, time doesn't stand still. And so because time doesn't stand still, experience is required to change. So in our life, in time, we experience good and bad. We have sunshine and rain. We succeed and we fail. We do good and we do bad. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could just do good all the time? You know what's sad is that we spend so much time in time, subject to the laws of times and the whims of time, that we actually enjoy doing bad sometimes. You ever done bad and felt good about it? Some of y'all are lying. Don't kid me. You've been bad on occasion and thought it was the greatest thing in the world. Amen? My daughter had an encounter just yesterday with some smart-mouthed little old lady. And she come home and she was just fuming about it because this lady was just really rude. And I said, well, what'd you do? Well, she got in her face and told her off. And I could tell from the way she told that story, she enjoyed doing it. She just had the time of her life. She did bad and liked it. Now, if we were really right in our heart and in our mind, we wouldn't enjoy being bad. See? But in time, don't kid me, you experience both. There's no man that doeth good and sinneth not. I guarantee you, you've done bad and you've done a lot of it. And the truth is, if the truth were known, you've done a lot more than we know anything about. Amen. He said, well, I don't have a secret life. You're lying. Everybody's got a secret life. Everybody. Except me. In time, we're either saved or lost. Salvation is a process for time. In eternity, there will be no talk of salvation. There will be no possibility of salvation. The truth is, there will be no need for salvation. Amen? Salvation is for time. It is for here and for now. That's the reason the Bible always said, today is the day, today is the day, today is the day. See? If you harden not your heart, now is the accepted time. Why? Because you can only get saved in time. You will enter into eternity. You will cross over the borders of time, saved or lost. And however you pass through the border of time, that is how you will spend eternity. In a land where there is no time, where there is no morning and evening, no day and no night, no passage of time, and circumstances do not have to change because time does not march on, you will spend eternity in whatsoever state you leave this world in. It is absolutely essential. If you're ever going to be saved, to get saved in time. Somebody said, boy, he got saved just in the nick of time. Man, we all got saved in the nick of time. Amen. That's like that fella, this old drunk got saved, you know, and this other guy was, somebody was telling him about it, and this guy knew the old drunk, and he said, boy, he said, now that's, he got saved by the grace of God. Well, the truth is that we all got saved, you know. And he said, he just got saved in the nick of time. We all got saved in the nick of time. If I'd have waited 10 more minutes, I might have had no opportunity again. I could have passed off into eternity, and God never extended His mercy and His grace. I'm glad that God gave me time to get saved. Salvation is a product of time. But one of these days, we're going to pass beyond the borders of time. In Revelation 10:6, it said that there should be time no more. Now, I know that we are accustomed to and adapted to the concept of time. And we measure everything in time. We plan and scheme in time. We have the time of our childhood and Then we have a time for education, and we have a time to get married, and we have a time to live and a time to die, and we have time for recreation, and we have time for sports, and we have time for children. And our life is divided into all kinds of segments of time. And we think in time. We make plans in time. Played golf yesterday with my two grandsons and Brother Mark, and we got through, and we've been playing over here at Carolina Towns because it's cheap. Amen. And I have to pay for two, so I got to go where it's cheap. But I said, next week, let's play over at Pineville. That's a lot more expensive. I said, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about playing golf. I'm talking about the fact that we made the plans for a time. See, here I am on this Saturday looking forward to the next Saturday because I'm in a climate that dictates I have to plan on time because time passes. Time is a real thing. It has substance. If you don't believe it, stand where you're at and time will pass you by. Amen. And so we're making plans to play golf next Saturday. Lord willing, and the church don't rise, and that kind of stuff. Everything you do, you base it on having time to get it done. Well, Lewis is working on our visitors campaign. He's going to have, do this week, and this, that, and this. All of it is scheduled, all of it is based, all of it is predicated on having the time to do it. Time passes, and as it passes, the date in the future arrives and becomes today. We accomplish what we can in that day, and that time passes on and becomes yesterday. And that's the story of everybody's life. One of these days, we're going to a place where that won't be the case. Now, it's going to take some adjusting of our mind. It's going to take some adjusting on how we think and how we reason. Because in eternity, you can't say, tomorrow we'll do this and that. Because tomorrow never comes. It's always today. There's coming a day when I can do everything I want to, as long as I want to, today. I'll never have to wait to do it again. Now you say, well, now that's gotten kind of foggy out there. How do you grapple with all that? That's your problem. I got my method. I know how I do it. I put me some markers on eternity. I put some dots on the chart so I can know from point A to point B. Eternity, everlasting, without end, is a concept that's just difficult for a finite mind to grasp, even though we think about it and we want it all the time. Now, let me give you some things that are wonderful about this concept of no more time. Number one, beyond the borders of time, we are free from the weaknesses of the flesh. I don't know about you, but that just thrills my heart. I'm so sick of me sometimes. Nobody in this world has ever disappointed me like I disappoint me. So, well, so-and-so hurt me, and so-and-so disappointed me, and so-and-so betrayed. Oh, we've all had that, and I'm not making light of it. I know it hurts. But I'm as honest as I know how to be. Nobody has ever hurt me or disappointed me like I have hurt and disappointed myself. The honest truth is I had better expectations of me than that. I'll be honest with you, I thought I was a better man than that. And when I look back on it, I cannot believe that I've done some things that I did. And I bet if you was honest, some of y'all have to say amen too. I mean, don't look at me like some kind of Pharisee. If you've been alive very long, I guarantee you, you've disappointed yourself. You've said, oh, if I lived to be a million years old, I'd never do that. And here you are, you've done it. Amen. Beyond the borders of time, we're free from the weakness of the flesh. The sickness, the pain, the aging, and the death. Words they don't use. If you got down Webster's 1828 semi-inspired dictionary of the American language in eternity and looked it up, you can't find sickness. You can't find sorrow. You can't find aging, and you can't find death, because they're concepts that are not known in eternity. Beyond these borders of time, I'm never going to get old. I'm never going to hurt again. I watched my wife this week, and she's a trooper. God bless her heart. She was sick. She was running about 104, 105 fever, and her throat was swelled up. She couldn't swallow. She didn't get water down. She's laying there soaking wet. She couldn't hardly talk. She's hurting. And she'd just fall off asleep because her fever was so high, and she'd moan. And it just break my heart. I mean, it just kills me when something's wrong with her. And I thought, one of these days, she will never, ever, ever be in pain again. She will never hurt. There will be no sickness when we lose this thing called time. When we cross across that borderline into forever and ever, there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more sorrow. Wayne Smith and his family just lost a daughter. 45 years old, as far as they knew. Healthy as a horse. Got up, was getting ready to go to work. Husband went in the bathroom, brushed his teeth and stuff, came back. She's laying on the floor, and that afternoon she was dead. Dead! Gone! Oh, that family has suffered. Went out to that wake thing, that cruel and unusual punishment that we perpetrate on people every time somebody dies. I think, you know, we don't have enough sorrow and sadness because of the death. We have to do all we can to increase it. We make the bereaved stand there and shake hands with 200 people when all they want to do is sit in a dark room and cry. I'm saying, when I die, if y'all do that, so help me, I come back home, every last one of you. There won't be a person in this room that doesn't believe in life after death, because they'll say, the preacher done bugged me one more time, buddy. And I know it was him. But that family, poor Hector was standing there in that line, and folks would come by and say stuff, and the tears would well up in his eyes and run down his face. That old boy had wept and cried till his face was just red and raw. Hurting. Pain. Heart filled with sorrow. Old Preacher Smith and his wife are standing there. And I've known him ever since we've been in this town. And boy, his face is all red and his eyes are all red. Tears standing in his eyes. His poor little old wife standing there and tears just running down her cheeks. Just running down. So what's wrong with them? Heart filled with sorrow because of the things that occur in time. But one of these days, we won't have time anymore, and there won't be any more death, and there won't be any more sorrow, and there will never be a nice little lady and a sweet little man standing there with tears dropping off their eyes, cheeks, because of the sorrow that fills their heart. Beyond the borders of time, no more sickness, no pain, no aging, no death, no temptations, and no ungodly desires. What a blessing that's going to be. People say, well, preacher, I'm not tempted to do wrong. I believe you're a liar. That's what I think. I don't know anybody that's not tempted. Now, you could say, I don't give way to temptation. Thank God for that. But I don't know anybody that lives and breathes that's not tempted somewhere by something at some time to do something they ought not do. Amen. I mean, you live in a world that is designed to tempt you. Everything in this world is painted up and colored up and fixed up to draw you and tease you and tempt you to do things you ought not do. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the time came when there was no more temptation, no more desire for ungodly things? And I'm not just talking about temptation to the vile and reprehensible things. You can be tempted to lay out of church. That's a wicked thing. You can be tempted to take God's money and spend it on something else. That's a wicked thing. Amen. Folks get the idea, you know, if they're not committing adultery or fornication or getting drunk, smoking dope, they're not bad. Well, you're just out of your mind. Those are the things unsaved people do. Let me tell you about the things saved folks do. They are manifest. One of these days on the other side of time, we'll say goodbye to pride and haughtiness. You know why folks come down to the church house and we talk about eternity and God and all that, and they don't sit there and shout amen, tears don't run down their face? I'll tell you why. You can't get into it, you can't enjoy it, because you're too doggone proud. You're afraid if you put a hand in the air, somebody will think you're some kind of fanatic. Amen. You think if tears run down your face, everybody thinks you got sin in your life. Hey, how about tears of joy? Amen. I mean, don't you get happy thinking about eternity? Well, a lot of Christians don't these days because they don't ever think about eternity. All they ever think about is right here, right now. What they can get now, what they've experienced now. They've sacrificed the eternal on the altar of the immediate. I don't know about you, buddy, but eternity excites me. I'm wore out with this world. The longer I get, the less there is an interest in me. Fella comes up with a brand new car anymore. It's pretty, but I don't get excited about it. I'm telling you the honest truth, I don't. I bought a new car a while back. I didn't even go to buy it. I just sent my wife down. She got it. She brought it home. I drove it around because we was going to dinner. I've never had the hood up. I don't know. It could be rubber bands under there for all I know. I just don't care. She drove it into an oak tree after we had about 2 or 3 weeks. That woman has tried every way in the world to ruin that car. Bought that stupid car and she got the laundry out and the clothes hangers, got the side of the door and put 3 scratches down the side. Then she went down to visit some folks on a Sunday, made me drive down this little dirt road about this wide, and somebody cut one of the limbs off with a thing, and it drug down the side, put a big old scratch down that side. Yeah, it was because of you, though. Then she took it to the thing to wash it, and she come home all depressed. She said, Bob, she said, what does it cost to get the car painted? I said, I don't know, $1,500, $2,000. I said, why? She said, I think I just ruined ours. I said, what'd you do? She took it to the car wash, and they had 2 hoses hanging up there. One with soap and water, and one with engine degreaser. So what she did, she washed the whole car with degreaser. The next Sunday, she came back, and she said, you're going to be mad? I said, what'd you do to it this time? She said, I don't know how I did it. I said, what'd you do? She said, well, the windshield was covered over with ice, and so I was just going to back out and turn it around and pull up in the driveway and let it sit in the sun so the sun would defrost the windshield. Somehow she managed to ramble out of the driveway and get over in the woods and drove into an oak tree. Bent the grill thingy and scraped all the paint off the other doohickey. Say, why didn't you say that? You think I got upset about any of that? You think I said one word? I never mentioned it. I never got excited. I didn't even go look at it. My wife said, when she washed it with the stuff, she said, aren't you going to go look at it? I said, it'll be there tomorrow. And it was. Say, why? Don't you care? I guess I care. But I'm not getting my life all involved in junk. I'm not going to do it. Amen. I remember here a few years ago, Brother... what's that missionary? Ballard. Brother Ballard was here. And he just come up from Texas and something happened at home. I think his daddy died. I had a brand spanking new Lincoln Continental. He didn't have a car. His daddy died. He said, can you take me down here? We get a bus. I got to go home. I just gave him a car. Someone said, oh, how did I ever give you my brand new Lincoln? Well, it's a car. I got insurance on it. I can get another one. Ding it up, bend it up, twist it up. I mean, I'm not going to do it on purpose, but if it happens, I'm not going to blow a gasket. Amen. I am not, by the grace of God, going to fall in love with the things of this world. I'm looking for a better place. I want to get out of this time thing and get into eternity. And I'm not going to let anything down here make me love this world and want to stay. Amen. I used to fly airplanes. I learned to fly airplanes. I love flying airplanes. And I got to where I love to fly more than I like going to church. You know what I did? I quit flying. I sold my airplane. I love guns. I had a house full of guns. I mean a house full. I got to where every time I went out, I was at a gun store or a pawn shop. I was looking at guns, or I was wanting to go shoot guns, or I was wanting to... You know what I did? I just took them. I sold half of them. I gave half of them away. I quit shooting. So why? I'm not going to let anything, by the grace of God, I'm not going to let anything get me bound down to this whole world. I don't want nothing to upset me or get me excited about any kind of material possession. I want my heart stayed on God and eternity. Amen. You can do whatever you want to, it's not yours. But I want to get free from time. And I don't want anything in my life to make me want to stay here. In beyond the borders of time, we are free from the restraints of the flesh. Now, at first we were free from the restrictions of the flesh, or the weakness of the flesh. Now we're free from the restraints. See why? Because in eternity, knowledge is unrestricted. I've spent most of my life trying to find out things I didn't know. For the most part, for the last 30 plus years, I've tried to find out things about this Bible I didn't know. And God's been good, and I've learned a lot of stuff about it. I don't know it all yet. I'm still working at it. There's virtually nothing out there on the subject I haven't read. I've listened to all the great King James only people. I've listened to all their tapes and watched all their videos. Say, what in the world are you going to get from Brother Lewis's sermon? I got plenty. He saw some things in a different light than I saw them. He used a different illustration that made it clearer. I get a blessing out of it. Amen. Some of y'all don't get a blessing because you think you know everything. I'm here to tell you, I've been studying that book 33 years, and I don't know it all. That book's still a blessing in my heart. I like to hear it. I like people to take what I've studied, and I say, well, I've got all there is. I've gleaned all the truth, and that guy get up and won't be talking 5 minutes. And show me something I miss. Keep you humble. Amen. Knowledge will be unrestricted. I'll know as I'm known. God will show us everything on the other side. Boy, there's plenty of things you don't know today. Amen. Not only will knowledge be unrestricted, you ever think about this? In eternity, without time, travel and distance are unrestricted. I just go anywhere I want to go and be anywhere I want to be whenever I want to go there, whenever I want to be there. So, well, you know, if we could find a wormhole, we could get from here to there. And if we could get Stargate set up, we could go to Atlantis, you know, which is now on another planet in another solar system, not here anymore. Amen. We wouldn't need a time machine to get from here to there. Amen. Say, why? Because you're there. You understand how eternity works, don't you? You're eternally present and eternally there. So the only thing that has to change is your reference in your mind. Well, how does all that work? Well, now you can figure out the physics for it. You know, I've just got the program here. I know this. I know that when you get that supernatural glorified body and God takes over, you can be anywhere you want to in a moment of time. I know that Jesus Christ went from Jerusalem to heaven and back in under 4 hours. I know that He passed through the walls. The disciples were gathered in a room, the doors being shut for fear of the Jews, and Jesus appeared unto them in the midst. I remember they said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And then it came back in the afternoon and they held Him by the feet. So why? Because He had been to heaven and back. Say, where's heaven? On the other side of the universe. there are three heavens. The one you see up there with the stars in it. And then there's the one down here with the birds in it. And then there's the one above all of them where God is. Jesus Christ said, the Bible said that Christ ascended afar above all heavens. Amen. So what do you get when you get to the end of outer space? You get to God. Amen. You get to God. God's up there. Amen. Well, Jesus went up there through all those constellations and stars and nebula and solar systems and galaxies and all that stuff and went up and talked to the Father, made sacrifice, sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat, on the real one, not the one down here. Had time left over and get a fresh tomato sandwich, Duke mayonnaise on white bread and a glass of cold milk and come back. Amen. Somebody said he had bubble gum when he got here. I'm telling you, son, when you get into eternity, when you cross over the borders of time, you can move. You talk about, I want to be free. I want liberty. Listen, you need to get on the other side. You're free over there. This old flesh can't hold you back. This old body can't hold you down. Time is not a barrier anymore. You don't have to wait for time to pass to get from here to there and accomplish this, that, or the other. You can do it right now.
Realize this, when you get past the borders of time, there's a new world. I got to hurry because I really run out of time. There's a new world that's pure and undefiled, Revelation 20, verse 1. Not only is it pure and undefiled, it's free from all evil. It is the residence of the Almighty. Now, God dwells up in heaven right now. One of these days, God will dwell here. Down here. This will be the residence. This will be the dwelling place of Almighty God. This is the capital of the universe. Always has been. It'll be one perpetual day. You ever look over there at Revelation 20? The Lamb is the light thereof, and there is no night. Neither sun nor moon. Say, why? Because it's one perpetual day. I remember as a boy, I love science fiction, and I used to read Edgar Rice Burroughs, and he's got a little book called The Land of Perpendicular, and it's a little fantasy thing, but in The Land of Perpendicular, they make this machine that bores a hole and gets down in the center of the earth, and when you get down there, it's bright as day, and there's trees and all that kind of animals, but instead of it being this way, it was on the inside. You see, if this is the earth, we're on the outside, so everything is convex. On the inside, everything is concave. But in the middle of that, there was the core of the earth, and it was like the sun. But it was in the dead center, and there was no place for it to go, so it was sunlight and all the time. It was an endless day. So it's called the land of perpendicular because everything was up to the sun. I love that kind of stuff. Right? It stirs your mind and imagination. My wife doesn't get into it, but I do. Where was I at? There's a brand new world, free from evil, residence of the Almighty, and with one perpetual eternal day. But let me, and I skip over that real quick. I really was going to preach on that a while, but let me give you point number four and we'll go have lunch. The border of time is the place where the dreams of mankind come true. Now, I'm not speaking for individuals, but collectively, as a species, there are a handful of things that we as a race have craved and sought for and dreamed about as long as we've been on the planet. And the honest truth is, none of the things that mankind seeks and desires have ever been attained. With all of our science and all of our technology, with all of our labor, with all of our effort, with all of our millions of people working on the project, we are no closer to any of them than we've ever been.
And the truth is, it's because they're not obtainable by mankind, and they are not obtainable in time. Everything that man wants is on the other side of the border. You got to cross the line. You say, what is it? Well, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, there is a new heaven and a new earth, right? You know what the whole world's looking for? We're looking for world peace. We're not anywhere near world peace. Man, you got blacks hate whites, whites hate yellow, whites hate... we don't like nobody. The white man is the killer of the species. You understand that, don't you? We're the conqueror. The white man's always been the biggest killer on the planet. I'm not saying the mothers don't kill, but not on a grandiose scale like we manage it, son. We're the killers. The white people hate, and the Afghanistans hate this guy, and we hate the towel heads and all that stuff, and we got little nicknames for everybody, and the Sunnis don't like the Shiites, and the Christians don't like the Muslims. You live in a world full of hate. And then somebody running around here talking about peace, peace, peace. You're out of your mind. You can't have that many people with that many thoughts and that many desires and that many ambitions and that much diversity and then want to get them together. Ain't gonna happen. You gotta be ready for the loony bin to think you can get 5-6 billion people with 1,000 different religions together and 1,000 different forms of government and get them together and have peace and harmony. The only way you have peace and harmony in this world, in the world you live in, is to have the biggest gun. That's the only way you can have peace. You have to force it down the other guy's throat. There's no natural. But I'm telling you, when you cross the borders of time, there'll be a land of peace. Amen. But if we get to the other side, there will be world peace. It's an enforced peace. God declares there will be peace. The Prince of Peace will be there, and there will be no more war. Not only the world's looking for world peace, it's on the other side of time. The world is looking for perfect health. I'm looking for it. I mean, man, if somebody invented a pill tomorrow that could help you live to be 500, I'd be up there for it. I ain't against that. I like living. But it ain't going to happen. Amen. Man has always wanted to live longer than he lived. I bet you back over there in Genesis 3, 4, and 5, where it said, no, so-and-so lived to be 929 years, and lived to be 963 years, and 965 years. I bet when it comes time to die, they said he met his untimely demise. Oh, preacher, if I just had another 100 years or so, He's just a young man. We're just ready for him to leave at 655 years. Nobody's ever ready to die. We always want to keep on living and living and living and living. Amen? Well, the only way that's going to get satisfied, the only way your dream comes true, is on the other side of time, buddy. When you cross over the border between time and eternity, you live forever. Not only does the dream of world peace come true on the other side, the dream of perfect health comes, the dream of endless life comes true. You can't even imagine a place where people don't get sick or where people don't die. Not only that, man always looked up to outer space and wanted to conquer the stars. Amen? Star Trek, they say, boldly going where no man has gone before. Well, they ain't going to say that forever. Now, I don't know that they can say that now because Jesus went from here to there and back. Amen? And Paul went from here to there and back. Amen? And there might have been another one or two along the way that's been here to there and back. I don't think it's right. I think we ought to sue them. False advertising. Boldly going where no man has gone before. Well, I don't know. Jesus was there and back. He'd been there. Amen? I know what they mean when they say that, but I'm here to tell you, buddy, we're going. I'm going. One of these days, I'm going to be on the other side of eternity, and I will have liberty to roam throughout the universe. They've been talking about black holes now for years. And I'm a big astronomy thing. I've got a bunch of, I like all that stuff. And I know all about them pulsars and them quasars and them blue binaries and the twins. And I like all that stuff, you know. So I read up on it. And now they've been talking about black holes. And they got a thing called event horizon where when matter gets sucked into the black hole at just the right place, you know, they've had this big star implode on itself, and it's super dense matter. A box the size of a matchbox weighs more than the Earth and that kind of stuff. And then matter gets close to it, and there's a point where it reaches the point where you can't escape anymore. They talk about all these black holes. Now they got a brand new one. About 10, 12 years ago, they invented wormholes in the universe. We went from black holes to wormholes. Now they got one better than that one. They got white holes. So anybody ever seen a black hole? Oh, no. Anybody ever see a wormhole? No. Anybody ever see a white hole? No. It's theoretical mathematics. That means a bunch of nuts. They can't look at a watch and tell you what time it is, playing games in their head. Amen. And writing gibberish on a chalkboard that nobody could read or decipher. And then declaring to you they found something out. Now, you got more faith in them than I got. Amen. Anyway, now they got white holes. Well, listen. I read back in that Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes, a long time ago, and found them holes. And in time warp, I saw that lattice back there. I saw the Lord looking through the holes in that thing. Did you ever read that? I brought you a message on that, didn't I? Brother Bo Tommy asked about it. I answered his question. We talked about that lattice, that weaving and the warping of the universe. Amen. Well, listen, I'm on this side of it right now. I'm on the time side. But I'm going to get out of this timeshare thing one of these days. And I'm going to get over on the other side. And ain't going to be no time. And I'll be free to go wherever I want to go in God's universe. And I won't need any black hole or wormhole or any other such nonsense. I'll have God's permission, God's authority, and God's power to put me wherever I want to be, whenever I need to be there. Please, last but not least, beyond the borders of time, we're free from the weakness of the flesh. We're free from the restraints of the flesh. We're in a brand new world. We're in a place where the dreams of mankind all come true. You know what one of the great dreams of mankind is? One of the great desires of the hearts of mankind is to be free from the fear of the unknown. You know when it comes time to die, everybody gets scared? The Christians get scared. Everyone I've seen did. For one thing, God put it in you to live. That's a natural, basic instinct. He said, oh, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about it, but I'm going to anyway. If I find out tomorrow I got cancer, you watch me be upset, okay? And don't go around and say, oh, I thought he was a man of God. I am. But I'm a scared man of God. I'm a realistic. Say, why? I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus Christ. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going home to heaven. But I'm telling you, God put something down in you that makes you want to stay here and makes you worry about that leap across. Amen? Get excited about it. I'm not excited about dying. I'm excited about living. Now, I know I got to die to get eternal life. I understand that. I got to cross over the border between time and eternity. And when I do, there will never be another fear in my heart. There will never be another moment of doubt or dread. All that nonsense will finally, once and for all, forever, be behind me. No fear of the unknown. You say, why? There's nothing going to be unknown. The last great leap we take is that step of death that takes us out of time and puts us in eternity. And from that point on, there is no more great unknown. There's nothing left to fear. Won't that be a blessing? You ever think about how much of your life you spend in fear? Now, you can call it anything you want to. You can say, well, I'm just apprehensive. That's fear. Well, I just dread so-and-so. That's fear. Well, I'm just not sure. That's fear. If you knew what was there, if you understood it, if you could comprehend it, you'd be as comfortable with it as you are flipping a light switch. Amen. He said, well, I just got a little tension. What causes tension? I've got a little anxiety. What causes anxiety? Doubt, dread, which all come from fear. One of these days. And for me, it's getting a lot closer. No more fear. No more getting old. No more sick. No more phone calls. People die. People are sick. No more people calling up to a Christian church door. Oh, I'm going to leave this world of time, step across the line, cross the border. I'm not saying sign up today. I'm not saying you're off as a train leaving this afternoon. Everybody ought to get on it. I think everybody ought to go when they're supposed to. We're pretty close. I think you can rearrange that something too, by the way. But we're going to leave. When it comes, I think God gives grace for it. I believe dying, I believe all that stuff. But the concept, the idea, the attraction of no more time and all the things that are supposed to do, doesn't it grab your heart? Doesn't it grab your imagination? Some folks are going to step across the border of time and they're not going to be saved. They're not going to roam the universe. And they're not going to be free from pain and suffering and sorrow. They're going to spend eternity in hell. They will be forever dying and never dead. They'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. They never got saved in time. Now, the truth is, you're here this morning and you have time. You have time right this morning. You can get saved this morning. But I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's giving you time. See, time can be a blessing. You got time right here this morning, right now. If you put away that pride and look out there through eternity, past time, see the consequence and see the future. Humble yourself, come and receive Jesus Christ. You don't have to perish. You don't have to step out of time and into eternity to be punished forever and ever and ever. You got time. You got time this morning to get saved. With Father. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, there are folks in here that are saved by God's grace, watching above land and on their way to the city. Some of them are excited about it. Some of them are in present love with this present evil world. Some here this morning are probably not ready. They're in church. They're religious to a degree. They've never trusted Christ with their heart and soul. They've never given their life. They're not saved. If they died this morning and stepped out of time and into eternity, they'd perish without God and without hope. Yet they cling to some empty profession that has not changed their life, has not given them the joy and peace nor the hope of the world things to come. I pray, speak to that heart this morning. Draw them. Do a work in their heart. They might be saved while this time. In Jesus' name, yes.